Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight for our time of ministry in the Word of God and our Bible study. God is good. He's awesome. He's amazing. He's faithful. We give to Him alone all the glory and all the praise that He deserves. Wherever you are, thank you tonight. Whatever platform you are joining us on, it is such a privilege to be able to get together with you and other saints around the Word of God. We do this just about every week. And what a blessing. It's almost like a time of feasting in the Word, a time of celebrating. And the Word of God is so good, you know, everything about God's Word is good. And when we approach the Word with the attitude to receive, to celebrate, to be blessed, then something good is bound to happen to us. I believe that again, as the Lord's always done for us, something good is going to happen to you and to me tonight as we study the Word of God. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I hope you're doing well. I hope you are enjoying the goodness of the Lord. Hallelujah. There's so much uncertainty in the world. It's always going to be that way until Jesus returns. It's either one thing or the other. Sometimes it's a little bit more accelerated than other times. But the uncertainties in the world, they are here to stay. So praise God, we have God's shalom. The shalom of God is our covenant inheritance. God has given to us. Jesus said, "My peace I bequeath to you." That's our inheritance in Christ. Hallelujah. The peace of God has been given to us. The peace of God that passes all human understanding. And it is so important that we allow that peace to be wrapped around our minds. No matter what is going on at different points in time in the world, whether in our lives personally or in our communities, in our nations, or in the world generally, we must, as children of God, we must be committed to always allow the peace of God to be wrapped around our minds, to form a garrison around our minds, so we're not disturbed, we're not perturbed. We can continually enjoy the good life that Jesus died to give to us. You know, God made the good life available to you and to me. That's why He made all of that sacrifice. And even in this season, as we get into a time of celebrating the death, the sacrifice, the crucifixion, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ during Easter celebrations and Resurrection Day celebrations, this is a great reminder that Jesus paid the ultimate price so that you and I can live the good life. If the world was going to be so fair and the world was going to be so easy and so good to us, there will be no reason for Jesus to have paid that price. Hallelujah. But God, in anticipation, first, for all that Satan had done, all that he had done since the beginning in the Garden of Eden, and all he has done through times, through the ages, there needed to be a rewriting, a resetting, and Jesus paid the price for that. And then the Lord, in anticipation of what the future of the world would be, Jesus paid the price, the ultimate price. And part of the price he paid was to give us peace. You and I can enjoy his peace. We can enjoy, we can have peace in the middle of the storm. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, would you bow your heads with me? Let's just open up in prayer tonight. Father, we honor you. We're so thankful. We're so grateful. You are awesome. You are amazing to us. We lift you up. We adore you. What a mighty God we serve. Thank you Thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for giving us Jesus. You loved us so much, you gave us Jesus. And Jesus gave us everything we need for life and for godliness. What a blessing that we can come around your word again tonight, my brothers and sisters, and all of us, those that are joining us in real time, those that will join us later on after this broadcast. Thank you, Father, that all of us can lay hold on the finished work of Calvary, and we can enjoy the fullness of the life that Jesus came to give to us. We give you the praise tonight. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Grant us illumination. Think through my mind. Speak through my vocal cords. Grant us understanding hearts. Help us to lay hold on that which you have prepared for us today. We give you the praise. We give you the glory, Lord, tonight. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. And amen, amen. And thank you so much again. Let's dive real quickly into the Word of God. I'm gonna trust God and just go through a number of the scriptures that we've had, including some of the ones for the last few weeks that I have just not been able to get to. Just try to get into them tonight, even if my commentaries are a little shorter than usual. Let's just dive into it. Isaiah 55. From verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and does not return there, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth and bud, so that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it would accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Hallelujah. You know, as we continue to dig in and study together these concepts under this topic that we have been studying for the last 6 weeks, renovate your mind, elevate your life. As we continue to diligently dig into the Word of God, something's happening to us. I know that. Something's definitely happening to us, and it's something good. It's something powerful. It's something supernatural. It's something extremely positive, extremely holy and godly. Hallelujah. There's a reshaping happening in our minds. What a blessing that it's never too late to get on this journey. We're never too old. We're not too young. We're not too far gone to get the best that God has for us. So even in this series, as we've been studying the Word of God the last few weeks, our minds are being renovated. And as our minds are being renovated, our lives are being elevated. Something good is happening to us. All of us, I know if you check your life, you've been diligent with the Word. If you have been diligent with the Word, and if you've been digging in and you've been studying and you've been meditating this Word, you look back, you look at what's going on in your life right now. You see there's something going on with your mind. There's something really glorious going on with your mind. Where you are taking more control. You are taking charge. You're speaking to that mind. I know you are. I know you are. I am. We're studying the same Word. And I know I've done it through the years, but there's a greater intensity now. It's like everything is just gone up another notch. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Like that psalmist, we're speaking to our minds. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. We're speaking to our soul. We're taking control of our minds. You and I, we're coming into a greater place of understanding regarding the place of our minds, our souls in our lives. And as we're getting more understanding, we're becoming more empowered. And this process isn't going to end this month, this year, this season. No, we're going to have to keep doing it. Now, sometimes we may have to come back to this series of teachings. depending on what's going on in each of our lives, you may have to come back and just hear this again and again and again and again, and just receive the empowerment that God has for you. That's what I'm doing. I'm receiving all of the empowerment that the Lord has for me through this series of teachings. Glory to God. You speak to that mind. The mind is yours. That's your mind. You take control over that mind. You tell that mind, we're not going over there, we're going over here. I don't care if you've gone over there for 60 years. I don't care if you've gone over there for 40 years. I don't care if you've gone over there for 20 years. I don't care if that's how you've thought, that's how you've always responded to situations, right? Because it seemed right to you. But now you are learning by the Holy Spirit that there is a godly way and is different from the way you've always done it. So what do? You take control of your mind. You say to your mind, hey, mind, we're not going there anymore. We're going here now. We're not thinking like that anymore. We're thinking this way now. Hallelujah. And as we continue to do that, our thoughts will become more like his thoughts. Our ways will become more like his ways. Glory, glory to God. Hallelujah. What a glory. What a glory. I feel the presence of God already. Powerful. Awesome. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Oh my goodness, how much time I spent on this last week. I really believe that the Lord wanted me to do that because I didn't plan to do that at all. But now that we've done that, praise God, I don't have to do that again. Glory to God. We just took so much time talking about this scripture last week. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given unto us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has not given to us the spirit of fear, but he has given to us the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind. I read that from the Amplified like we did last week. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craving and cringing and fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and a spirit of love and a spirit of a calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. We took so much time to describe what a sound mind is like. A sound mind has no fear, doesn't have anxiety. Amen. They are not resident in there, doesn't have worry. Glory to God. Doesn't have discouragement, despondency, despair. All these things we identified last week, had run through a gamut of different ways in which the mind is when it is not sound. And we addressed all of that. When our minds are sound, like the Bible says here, then we are well balanced. Then we're calm. A mind that is sound is a mind that has the peace of God, a mind that is undergirded by the peace of God, that is undergirded by the shalom of God. A mind that is sound is a calm mind. A mind that is sound is a well-balanced mind, and not a mind with excesses. Glory to God. A mind that is sound is a mind that has discipline. It's a mind that has discipline. Glory to God. A mind that is sound is a mind that has self-control. Self-control. It's a mind that isn't just running all over the place at the same time. It's running haywire all around the place. You know, there's not a mind that is just out of control. And the words that come out of such a mind, I just can't control it, and I just can't hold it back. I can't deal with it. No. It's a mind. God has given us a sound mind. You and I have something to do with this. When God gives us a sound mind, we must receive it. How do we receive that sound mind? By going through a lot of what we have been teaching. Amen. In this process, we are taking the sound mind that God has given to us and we are superimposing it on the natural mind that we have always had. We are receiving the sound mind of God. We are receiving the mind of Christ. We have a lot to do with this. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 last week, this was one of the scriptures we read. And I remember saying, this is really, for me, is really one of the biggest benefits of renovating the mind, right? Because in this scripture right here, we see some of the elevation that happens in a life that has imbibed and that has received the mind of Christ, right? Notice here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, but the natural mind, or the natural non-spiritual man, mind, or you could say mind if you want, because in Romans 8, it is described as such, right? In an unspiritual mind or a carnal mind, as described in Romans chapter 8, if you look there in Romans chapter 8, in Romans chapter 8, verse 6, notice it says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If you read that in the Amplified, it says, now the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit, is death. Death that comprises all miseries arising from sin, both here and thereafter. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and soul peace, both now and forever. So you see the description of a spiritual mind and a non-spiritual mind, or what Romans 8 describes as a carnal mind, is exactly what we're reading here as well in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 to 16. It says, but the natural non-spiritual mind or man or woman or minded man or woman does not accept or welcome or admit into his heart the gifts and teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness and meaningless nonsense to him. Oh my goodness, what a mystery was unraveled for me this past week. You know, there's this thing I've just been, you know, sometimes I'll think about it and I wonder about it. And I you know, it really was a mystery to me. Like, I wondered, how can any believer be so privileged to receive the Word of God, the sound teaching of the Word of God, week in, week out? This happens right across the body of Christ. And week in, week out, we hear the Word, we hear the Word, we hear the Word. And we do it for many years, and yet there's very little change. It used to be a mystery to me. Now, I'm not talking about, like, we're expecting perfection. All of us carry this human flesh, and from time to time, we trip up. Right? You do something totally unexpected and you have to get up and you have to repent, or you have to say, how could I have said that? How could I have thought that? How could I have let some thoughts can come into our minds? And I don't know about you, but you know, this is an experience I've had. Sometimes, you know, thought comes, you know, maybe I'm, I don't know, upset over something. I want to do something about something. And I think that God's given the power and the authority to do it. Maybe it involves some people. Maybe it involves a situation. And I feel like I have the liberty. I can do something about it. And the thought comes, this is what you should do about it. You just go and do this. And just go and do this. Because I feel like I have the authority and I have the power. And then the Holy Spirit, in his gentle way, will come and whisper into my spiritual ears, well, son, why would you do that? That does not glorify me. That does not edify. Yeah, maybe that helps you make your point. Maybe that helps you get your way. But that does not glorify me, and it doesn't edify the brethren, the church. Why would you do that? And you know, I hear that gentle voice of the Holy Spirit, and this might involve somebody or the other, a group of people or whatever. You know, as long as there's an individual, as there's someone involved in that, when the Holy Spirit says that and he makes it, he paints this picture, it's not a condemnation, right? There's no condemnation there. It's a conviction They are two different things. A condemnation is something that makes you beat yourself on the head and you feel like you are being beaten as you are beating yourself. Conviction is something that presses on your heart and brings change in your mind, right? They're two different things. Glory to God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The Holy Spirit never brings condemnation. Sometimes our heart, our inner being, sometimes even our consciences can prick us and kind of chide us in such a way that we feel a measure of condemnation. By the way, our conscience, you know, our conscience is the door between our spirit and our soul or our mind. This is one of the reasons, you know, why, I know a part of this series of studies has to involve, as we talk about renovating the mind at some point, we have to study a little bit about the conscience. The Bible does have a lot to say about the conscience. And so, you know, a thought comes and the Holy Spirit whispers and suddenly I'm just disarmed. All that, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this because I'm authorized to do it. I have the power and the authority to do it. I'm just going to. And the Lord says, well, that doesn't glorify me and that doesn't edify. And then I'm just so disarmed and sometimes I fall on my knees or I, you know, repent over that. And sometimes I'm there like so broken that how could such a thought even come into my mind? How could I even think such a thing? Because, you know, the conviction of the Holy Spirit hits me so hard. And it takes a while for the Holy Spirit then to comfort me. He's our comforter, amen? And to say, it's all right, son, it's okay. Let's move past this now. Glory to God. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. But I'm seeing more and more how the Lord works with us. And so this was a mystery to me. Like, how could we as believers hear the word of God over and over? And the number of believers, and they're right across the body of Christ. They hear the word year after year after year, and very little change. This used to be a mystery to me. It was such a mystery. Sometimes I ask the Lord, I tell the Lord, this is such a mystery. Again, remember, I'm not talking about we're growing, we're changing. Well, sometimes we trip up because of our flesh. We make a mistake. We do something silly, think something stupid, have to repent and get back with the Lord and all. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people just being one way, and they are always that way. No matter what the word of God says, there's just no movement in their spirit. There's no movement in their hearts. There's just no movement in their lives. And I was ministering this past Sunday in one of our services, and it hit me while I was ministering right there. The mystery that had been, something had been a mystery to me for years, suddenly became decoded. Right on the pulpit, the mystery suddenly became, it just unraveled right there before me as I was ministering. So I was preaching something, but I was hearing something in my spirit. The mystery, something that had been a mystery to me, became answered right there on the pulpit. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Oh, saints, it's so essential that we continue on our journey of renovating our minds. And in this season, as the Lord has brought so much intensity to this concept, you know, we can gain a lot of ground. Our lives can become so elevated that by the time we are done with this series of teachings, my goodness, we're in a totally different spot. All right, let's go back here. Hallelujah. I said I won't have a lot of commentary, and I know I'm going to get to my scriptures tonight, so I'm going to run on right now. Okay. But the natural, non-spiritual minded man or woman, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 in the Amplified, but the natural, non-spiritual minded man or woman does not accept or welcome or admit into their heart the gifts and the teachings and the revelations of the Holy Spirit, for their foolishness, they are meaningless nonsense to them. they are incapable of knowing them, that is, knowing them, getting a revelation of them, of progressively recognizing, understanding, and becoming better acquainted with them, because these things, this knowledge, these teachings are spiritually discerned, they are spiritually estimated, and they are spiritually appreciated. And unfortunately, when a mind is not renovated, that mind cannot receive the things of God. So we've got to renovate our minds. If God says, God's shalom is yours, my peace I give to you and I bequeath to you, a non-spiritual minded man or woman cannot receive it. They can hear it. They can even repeat it, but they cannot receive it. They cannot bear fruit from that word. Like the Lord said in Isaiah chapter 55, so shall my word be when it goes out of my mouth. It does not return unto me void, but it accomplishes that for which I sent it, and it prospers in the thing whereto I sent it. It will, that word, whatever word God speaks to a man or woman that is unspiritually minded, it cannot produce fruit. So we have to renovate our minds so that we can receive and the word of God can produce fruit in our life. We can change, we can grow, we can elevate, we can prosper, we can prosper. So when God says, my peace I've given to you, yeah, hallelujah, I receive the peace of God. No matter what the turmoil is going on in the world, the peace of God just builds a garrison around my life, around my heart and my mind. And I'm just calm. I'm not running based on the turmoil in the world. Even when it seems like all hell is breaking loose, I'm just calm. This is not a personality thing. Some people say, well, you know, Pastor, that may be because that's your personality. Ah, this is not personality. This is spiritual versus non-spiritual. Some people say, you know, my mind is just hot like that. It's just fiery. You know, I'm just hot. No. Mm-mm. A sound mind is calm, regardless of the personality. When the word of God hits your heart and hits your life, and you begin to produce fruit, your mind becomes sound and it becomes calm, well-balanced, disciplined. So you can control it, self-control. You can control it. You can control that mind. You can say, mind, we're not thinking that. Mind, we are not saying that. Mind, we are not going there. Mind, we're not thinking this. Hallelujah. Let's keep reading here, verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. But the spiritually minded man or woman tries all things, examines, investigates, inquires into, questions, and discerns all things, yet is himself or herself not to be put on trial and judged by anyone. He or she can read the meaning of everything, but no one can properly discern or appraise or get an insight of them. When you have the mind of Christ, you can judge everything. You can read everything. You can judge situations. You can put things in their place. You can think like God. You can think from God's perspective. There's no controversy. Is this the thought of God, or is this from my mind, or is this from the world? No, you know. You know, you can clearly discern it. It's like when Satan said to Jesus, and we're going to talk about this when we get into beginning to talk about the steps to renovate our minds, right? When Satan said to the Lord, hey, you've been fasting, you are hungry, this is stone. You have, if you are really the Son of God, you can turn this stone to bread. If Jesus was an unnatural minded, a carnally minded person, he would have done it. But Jesus was spiritually minded. He could judge it. And he said, no, I'm not doing that. Yeah, I have the power to do that, but I'm just not going to do that. Because that does not glorify God, and that does not really get me It doesn't elevate my life. So I'm not doing that. I have the power to do it, but I'm just not going to do it. See, has the spiritually minded person, the person with the renovated mind, can judge everything. You can hear something. It may sound charismatic. It may sound powerful. It may sound deep. But you judge. You say, that's not scriptural. That's not the mind of God. You know, some things even sound very emotionally appealing. Like, oh, it's so emotionally appealing, moves us really deep. But you hear it. That's not the mind of God. That's not the thought of God right there. That's not scriptural. And it may be scriptural because what Satan was saying to the Lord Jesus Christ had some scripture, but it just was not truth in his situation. It was not the truth of the word of God in the situation Jesus was dealing with. He was quoting the scripture, you know, he will give his angels charge over. Yeah, it's true. That scripture is right there in Psalm 90. And somebody can take that scripture and say, yeah, it's in the word of God. I can know, but it's not relevant to your situation. Now, it takes discernment to judge that that's not a relevant scripture for the situation we are dealing with right now. So we're not doing that. It's doing that makes it unspiritual because in this moment, it is not the mind of God. It is not the mind of Christ, and it is not the mind of the Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. This is so good. He says in verse 16, for who has known or understood the mind, the counsels, and the purposes of the Lord so as to guide and instruct him and to give him knowledge? But we have the mind of Christ, the Messiah. And we do hold the thoughts, the feelings, and purposes of his heart. We have the mind of Christ. See, so someone who has the mind of Christ, whose mind has been renovated, can judge everything, but they themselves cannot be judged. They can't be put on trial, right? Because they are led, they are spiritually aligned with the mind of God. They don't make their own decisions. They are unpredictable. They are like a mystery. They're like, how do you decode? You can't decode them. You can't understand them. They themselves don't understand many of the things they do because they are being directed by the Holy Spirit, not by their basal natural minds, but they are being directed by the Holy Spirit. I cited a scripture last week that I said I was going to. Let me quickly show you that scripture. It's Proverbs. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 20. See, a man, it's the Lord who directs a man's way. So then how can a man understand? How can he understand his own way? Because it's the Lord who directs it. How many times does this happen to you? It happens to me a lot. You know, I get up and I think, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that tomorrow, or I'm going to do this today. This is how I'm going to go about taking care of this assignment that the Lord's giving me or that I have for my day. I'm going to do this. And then I get into the day and it's like a lot of changes begin to happen. Like I start receiving wisdom that's showing me, oh no, that's not the best way to go about that. Go about it this way. Do this instead of that. Do that instead of this. Well, so even I, it was a mystery to me. I didn't know I was going to be doing all of that. It came to me by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Look at this scripture. Oh, glory to God. And a lot of things will happen to you a lot like that as a child of God when your mind is renovated because you can receive it. Remember that scripture we read? An unspiritual person cannot receive the things of the Holy Spirit. They can't receive. So even when the Lord is trying to, you know, stir us, when the Lord is trying to redirect us and trying to show us, well, don't, not that way, but this way, that way instead of that way, we can hear it because our minds are not renovated. Glory to God. This is the scripture I was trying to get to you last week. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24 and 27. Look at it in verse 24. Man's goings are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way? The Amplifier says, man's steps are ordered by the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way? Well, if I don't understand my own way, how can anyone predict me? You can't. And this is one of the biggest protections that the Lord has for us. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. It's one of the biggest ways in which we're protected as God's children. I know this pastor there was ministering, and I was talking about something that happened so many years ago. I was traveling. I was supposed to get on a particular bus, and, you know, for some reason, I had the ticket, I had everything, but some reason they would not let me get onto it, and, you know, they say it's now full, but I had the ticket, I bought the ticket, and I was so upset because time was of the essence for what I needed to do, and I was frustrated, you know, in my mind, and then suddenly the calmness of the Holy Spirit came, and I just resigned. And I trusted God with the situation to handle all the different variables that I couldn't handle. And we arrived at a point, and this, in the middle of the night, this bus that I was supposed to have been on was in a terrible, ghastly accident and was up in flames. Everybody in that bus died, perished. Well, when I bought my ticket earlier on that night, I did not know I would not be on that bus. But the Holy Spirit stirred me. Maybe I thought I was just going to go and quickly get a bite, you know, before we get on this long, it was supposed to be like a 12-hour trip. It was a night, all-night kind of trip. So maybe I thought I was just get a bite before I get on this bus. It's an all-night trip. And by the time we arrive, the following, it's morning where we're going. So that's what time was really of the essence for everything. Maybe the Lord stared me, go and get something to eat. And while I went to get something to eat, somebody took my place. I couldn't get on the bus. Well, it says, man's goings are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own? There are many things we don't understand about how the Lord directs us. It says in the Amplified, man's steps are ordered by the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way? And then in verse 27, it tells us, this same scripture, Proverbs 20, it says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord through which God searches all of the inward parts. The spirit of a man or woman is the candle of the Lord, right? That's the King James. It's through the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord searching all the inward parts of the belly. The Amplified says, the spirit of the man, that factor in human personality which proceeds immediately from God is the lamp of God, the lamp of the Lord, searching all his innermost parts. Hallelujah. It's through your spirit, and your spirit gets this through your conscience to your mind. So you find yourself going in certain ways and doing certain things. A lot of times you don't even understand that. You just know you are stared differently. And if you can't understand, well, you are unpredictable. You are an enigma. You can't be judged. You can't be preempted. You can't be predicted. Glory to God. Let's come back right here to 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 16. Because 15 and 16, he has mind of Christ. He can judge everything. He can judge everything. He can read every situation. But he himself, she herself, cannot be put on trial by anyone. And then it says right here, we have the mind of Christ, the Messiah, and we hold the thoughts, the feelings, and the purposes of his heart. Now listen, the mind of Christ is given to us. We must take it. We have a responsibility to take that mind of Christ. Is given to us, we must take it by renovating our minds to become aligned with the mind of Christ. Notice in the New Testament, in different places, it would instruct us like we are in control of this situation. We can do something about this situation. I know I was in Romans 12, verse 2. We were in Romans 12, verse 2 last week. We read so many different translations. I'm just going to, maybe I'll come back to it next week. I'm going to just leave that off so I can finish early and finish well tonight, right? But look in this scripture in Philippians chapter 2 verse 5. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5, look at what it says. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, right? Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? Look at it. It's Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. What does that mean? Let this mind, this same mind that was in Christ Jesus, let this same mind be in you. Means we say we have been given the mind of Christ. Right? So let that mind be resident. Let that mind be superimposed on your basal natural mind. When the mind of Christ is higher, the thoughts in the mind of Christ are higher than our thoughts. Our thoughts want to do things this way, but the mind of Christ is saying, this is how we are going to do it. What the Bible is saying is, we need to make the decision to take on the mind of Christ and adopt what the mind of Christ is telling us to do. That's how the mind of Christ is resident in our lives. The more we do that, the more our minds are renovated and renewed, the more our lives are elevated, and the more we become more and more like that spiritually minded man and woman. Let this mind be in you. So we have something to do with this. Glory to God. In this same Philippians, let's go here. Philippians chapter 4. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Philippians chapter 4, let's read from verse 6. Well, actually in verse 5, it says again, that's the word let again, let. Meaning, we have something to do with this. Okay, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Verse 6, be careful for nothing. So we have something to do with this. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request, that's the word let again, let your request be made known unto God. And then what will happen? Verse 7, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will then keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. I want you to look at this. Think about this. Right. Let. He says, be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious about anything. In fact, the Amplified Bible says that. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. No matter what's going on around. No matter what's going on in the world. Don't fret. You have a control over that. No matter what's going on in your life right now. It's your decision to make. I'm not going to fret. I shall not fear. I will not worry about this. I will not be anxious about this. And then if your mind begins to go in the path of anxiety, go in the path of fear, you say, hey, come back, mind. Come back. We are not going there. We're not going back. You take control over that mind, put a leash on it, and pull it back. This is where we're going. We're going the way of Shalom. I've been given a sound mind. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I have the Spirit. I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of the Holy Spirit. I have a well-balanced mind, a calm, a sound, self-controlled, disciplined mind. Glory to God. My mind is not running. It's not running things around me. It's not pulling me in every direction. It's not making my life go in so many different ways that I can't control. No. I'm in control of my mind. Hey, mind, we're going here. He says, so we're not afraid. We're not fretting. He says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Glory to God. He says, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite requests with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants made known to God. Verse 7, and then God's peace shall be yours. That tranquil state of his soul, assured of his salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. That God has given us his mind. We've been given the mind of Christ. It's the mind of shalom. It's the mind of no fear, no anxiety, no trepidation, no despair, no worry. Hallelujah. No trouble. No trouble. No discouragement. Right? No giving up. No hopelessness. Been given the mind of Christ. Right. But certain things are going on in our lives that want us to respond in fear, anxiety, panic, trepidation. But the Bible is telling us we have control. So we should not tolerate that fear, anxiety, trepidation. But instead of taking the fear, we should take our requests, make them known to the Lord. Lord, this situation, I commit it to you. It's not really under my control, but I know nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is too difficult for you. So I hand it over to you. I'm not going to lose my sleep over this. I'm not going to touch it again with my thought life. I'm giving it to you once and for all. I'm going to sleep. Thank you, Lord. I receive your shalom. I receive your peace that passes all human understanding. You go to bed, you go and sleep. That's it. Now, what happens when you do that? The Bible says then, the peace of God, that peace, the shalom of God, will mount a garrison. Do you see that in the Amplified? The peace that transcends and passes all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your heart and minds in Christ Jesus. There's another term that we use, is a pidgin English term. this term means I'm just cool. I'm just cool. It's a very popular pidgin English term. It's, I dey kampe. I dey kampe. That is, I'm just cool like that. I'm all right. Right? Let the devil do flips. Let him flip 100 times on his head. If situations like, let them roll or let whatever they want to do, let them do. But me, I just dey kampe. Forgive me for using that pidgin English. I remember it. It's so nice. It's so cool. Glory to God. That's the peace of God will garrison. It will mount a guard. Hallelujah. It will raise a wall around my heart and my mind so that the fear does not get in. Anxiety does not get in. Trepidation does not get in. Despair, discouragement, they don't get in. The peace, the shalom of God. See, I've been trying to get to this for a while. When we receive a new revelation, we'll come back to this scripture next week, my time is almost up here. It's time to renovate our minds with every revelation that we get from the Word of God. When we receive this revelation, this is God has given us his peace. His shalom. We have a covenant of peace. This is a season of shalom for us. So therefore, we let that revelation renovate our minds. So, no fear. I make the decision. There's no fear here. There's no fear. All the drama is trying to get into me, but into my mind, but I stop them right there. And then I take all of my anxiety, all my care, everything I'm feeling, I give it to the Lord in prayer. And then the Bible says the peace of God that passes all human understanding will garrison and mount guard around my heart and my mind and shield me. And then I'll be kankwe. I'll be just cool, just chilling. Hallelujah. Oh, I love it. Come on, receive the peace of God right now in the name of Jesus. The shalom of God is yours. No matter what's going on out there, the shalom, the peace of God is yours. Hallelujah. You speak to your mind. You take control over that mind. We're going to be in peace. We're going to be in peace. Now, notice how that scripture ends. We got to close right here because I've done 15 minutes already, believe it or not. Look at how that scripture ends. The peace of God in the King James, the peace of God that passes all human understanding will keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Then in verse 8, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. So you make that decision. If it's lovely, if it's full of praise, if it's full of virtue, if it's good, you think on those things. If it's not, you keep it out. I'm not thinking that. I'm nothing. No way for you here. Then look at what it says. You determine what you think. You have the power to determine what you think. The more renovated your mind is, the more renovated our minds are, the more empowered we become to determine what we think. And then it says in verse 9, those things that you have heard, that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do them, and the God of peace will be with you. Oh, Father, we thank you so much for tonight. We give you the glory and we give you the praise. We thank you for your mighty word. We receive it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Thank you, saints, for joining us tonight. Our time is up. I got to stop right here. Oh, my goodness. What a glorious Bible study. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has just spent some more time meditating this word. So go back. Let's go back and let's just keep renovating. Let's keep elevating. Hallelujah. Something good is happening to us. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. I look forward to seeing you again same time next week. God bless you. Good night.